on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live with a whole lot of feedback, so I don't know if that's you, Chuckles, wherever you're hiding in some basement. Coming to you live from the global headquarters here in Roswell, Georgia, Staff Zone. And what the hell are you doing?
I'm a media guy. I got to have my credentials on. Then they won't know if I'm legit or not.
You're not legit. Trust me.
You don't know that.
Oh, no, I know you're not legit. So
credentials says otherwise.
Well, you better like those because you're getting more. There's a gas shortage.
I know. What's going on with that?
It's crazy. I'm up here in Georgia, and literally there are lines on the biggest road up here. Holcomb Bridge Road is like US 19, like Del Mabry, and it's miles long.
Wow.
So I went and I picked up a vehicle this morning for Staff Zone. Ubered almost an hour to Gainesville, Florida. If I had more time, I was going to go look for AJ Styles because that's where he's allegedly from.
Right.
You buy a car, and I've purchased many cars for this company over the past 3 years. Guess how much gas was in the car? That's right. None.
Zero.
None. Well, it was enough that I drove about 9 miles before I almost ran out of gas.
Well, you
and
found
in the
gas.
Middle of nowhere, I heard dueling banjos being played, and there was a gas station with gas.
Unbelievable. And so now, where are all these people going with gas? They're not going to work because everybody's getting stimulus money. So
they're stocking up. They're stocking up so that they can go get their unemployment check.
It comes in the mail, I think.
Let me, I kind of forgot this. Let me tell you on today's show.
Okay.
Today's show is action packed. Scheduled momentarily, Gina Mazzani. At the bottom of the hour, Matt Schnell. The second hour, some guy you might have heard of him, Randy Couture.
Oh, the
and David Feld.
So natural.
And we're going to get ready to head down to Miami shortly for BKFC. The credential request for me came in for Mayweather Paul.
Oh, we mean for us.
No. I'm looking at you on other video aspects, and no, you're done. No more credentials for you.
Then I'll just go in the corner then.
Please. I'd rather you go in and be in there so they both can knock you out.
That's
maybe we'll get you to do Fan Man. Do you remember Fan Man? No, you were too young for it. But did you ever see that on YouTube or social media? The guy that literally flew a jet propeller fan. You know, like those big fans that are out on the airport to dry the ice? He flew one of those into the ring and crashed into the corner and stopped the fight in the middle of the fight.
Really?
Very famous Fan Man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've never lost in a fight. I'm undefeated. So
you're going to be defeated here in a second.
I was down at the gym today with Winky Wright. Winky's like, he might be my coach. Who knows? You never know.
No, because Winky's a winner.
Well, not now. He's on my team. He's going
to
be on
the
team.
I'll talk to him. I'll tell him that I'm going to corner you because I corner people that go on to lose, that he doesn't want any part of you.
He'll be on the GNAT. He'll be on the GNAT this week. He's excited about it.
I'll get him off. There's some things that really are bothering me right now. So some people put a post on the Book of Face, and the Buccaneers schedule, the NFL schedule came out. We're going to talk about that. I don't know if it's exact. I was told I have the schedule, so we will talk. You know, we will talk about that. But somebody put up a post about the top 10 greatest Buccaneers of all time.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the Mount Rushmore that we talk about. And one of our MMA friends put up, you know, the MMA Mount or the wrestling Mount Rushmore, the MMA Mount Rushmore. It's so difficult. It truly is, and especially with different eras, not eras like what I watched in the baseball game last night, different eras. A lot of people may not, you know, go back in whether you're talking MMA with guys like Mark Coleman, Ken Shamrock, Hoyce Gracie. You know, all they think about are today's, not back in time. So it's so difficult to do a top 10, to do a Mount Rushmore, really in any sport. But because we have a lot of things to talk about, we may do one or two of those Mount Rushmores today.
Okay.
Are you talking into the phone?
I'm talking to you.
Okay. Well, I can see you. You know, I hid cameras in your office. You didn't know that.
I know. This is my home office. It's the first time I'm not in my pizzeria.
Well, you don't have a pizzeria.
I did. This is the first time I'm doing it from my house.
You said the first time not in my pizzeria. You don't have a pizzeria.
This is true. It feels so good. It feels so good to not have employees, to not have to deal with the stresses of like a restaurant, the hospitality sector. Oh, shout out to all the people still in it, but I am done. I am a radio star now.
Well, you're far from that. if I was to rank you as a radio anything and a restaurant pizza owner, which you are no longer,
correct,
you would still rank above any of the radio stuff.
No
and
way.
You don't even have a restaurant anymore.
Well, you know what? That's true. That's a good statement. I'm more of like a fight camp trainer kind of guy. Not so
well,
much.
That's only because people don't know you yet.
Oh, they know me. Oh, and they love me.
Once they realize that, and I don't know legally, I should reach out to my attorneys if I can say a name or two. Like if I associated you with a name or two, like in the radio business and the radio world, there's a particular name that has floated around the Tampa Bay community for many, many years.
Okay.
And when I associate you with that person, you will not be touched. You will not be looked at. The ZNet.
But here's the difference. I'm getting results. You can call Mike Clayton right now. He's pain free. Ask him. His daughter's jumping out of the building. They went to Colorado. She's by far like exceeding all of her goals and performance. So say what you like, but I'm the real deal. You know it, and they know it.
Okay. You bore me, so stop talking. We are, ironically, with Randy Couture coming on today. I've been very vocal about the Fabricio Werdum fight,
okay,
decision, and then ruling from, I believe it was the New Jersey Athletic Committee. Now, first and foremost, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not. I mean, I know he fought. There was a controversy. Was there something like you fight till the ref pulls you off or something? Like I don't know. I heard there was some controversy. I don't know anything about it, though.
Well, there was major controversy.
Okay. Was it stopped early? What was wrong with it?
I don't know where you disappeared. I'm trying to text it to get Gina on, so just pretend like you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So yeah, there's a controversy. They overturned it. I heard the commission overturned it to a no decision. So you voice your opinion on, you know, you're not happy with that decision. I assume it's because, well, I'm not really sure why. Why were you upset with the commission's decision to make it a no contest?
To overturn it. And I think you're talking into your phone, so you need to stay away from the phone because I'm hearing all sorts of feedback. But what happened was, you know, some of the rules of fight camp is never talk about fight camp, right?
Okay.
Never, hold on one sec. Just talk among yourselves.
Okay. Well, so here I was, pizzeria-less on a Wednesday, working on a home. Okay. All right.
So what happened was there was what appeared to be a tap.
Okay.
Okay. It appeared to be a tap, no doubt. Tap one, tap two.
Got it.
Werdum claims that he let go of the 16 chokeholds that he had on the guy. Okay. I mean, he had all sorts of he literally had three different submissions on, you know, at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I know there's instant replay, but I'm just having a problem with the ref didn't see it. Okay.
Okay.
So the fight was stopped. Verdum and Verdum's camp complained that he tapped and that he let go. And some people said that he really didn't let go 100%. But they changed it from a stoppage to I think it was a no decision.
Okay.
So now you're taking the entire referee, the entire out of it. So take all the referees out. He missed it. There's no doubt he missed it. I understand.
With instant replay, isn't that the right call? I mean, isn't that why you have instant replay? Like, in case the ref misses it? Wasn't the right call made? I mean, was the right call made after with the decision? It had to be if that's why they overturned it.
All right, we're going to have to get rid of this video because I don't know what you're doing.
I'm talking to you.
I know, but for some reason, you're confusing me.
I'm just saying, there's no reason for referees, the human referee, if the cameras can dictate the victory, right? Or validate or overturn. I like it. I mean, to keep somebody from getting screwed by human error, and how many referees stop it for the wrong step? I mean,
We'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. Okay. Yeah. My dyslexia must have kicked in, and I changed all sorts of phone numbers around. This was entirely my fault. Let's go to Las Vegas as we continue to talk about what's upcoming this weekend, UFC 262. And welcome to the program, Gina Mazzani. Gina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. I apologize. I switched numbers around, and my producer was calling the number that I sent, not your proper phone number. So it's my fault.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay. We're here now.
Perfect. So talk to me about Fight Week. And obviously, this is day one. All the media stuff is today. The posters get signed. You kind of get started of Fight Week. 2 days left of doing other things. How do you get through it? Just counting down the hours to Saturday, trying to not think about counting the hours down to Saturday, which?
You know, it's one thing I've really been trying to do. It's like really learning to enjoy the process, because I can't even tell you how many days, hours, weeks, literally years I've spent training. So these fight weeks are really, really special, and I just really try to enjoy every moment of it, even though I'm very, very hungry and I'm water loading and I have to go pee all the time. And, you know, it's a lot, but it's all a part of the process. And I really have to learn to enjoy the process until I get to step in that cage and show what I've been working on.
But this fight week and the fight weeks over the past, year and a half is different. You know, it's not like, and I've always said to the athletes, it's a work trip. So you're not going to go, whether walk to the Alamo or walk down the strip if it's in Vegas. But in the past, you didn't do it. Now you really can't do it. So how much does that throw kind of a wrench in enjoying the process?
Well, actually, we're in Houston, Texas right now. So we're in a different hotel. We're in a different location. And they're a little bit more lax on us being able to leave. Before, we were required to stay in our rooms and be quarantined. But we're in a beautiful hotel and a beautiful area. And I actually went on a walk earlier today, just walked around the park and get to breathe some fresh air and just kind of enjoy Houston a little bit. So it's still kind of strict a bit, but we're able to leave a little bit, which is really nice. But also the hotel is big and beautiful, and I've never been here before, so it's nice to just even explore here. So it's gotten better.
So it's changed a little bit since Jacksonville, because I was up there in Jacksonville, and nobody was allowed to go anywhere, even though we did see people out. You know, it was a little more cautious. So it is good that it's opened up a little bit more for you guys.
Yeah, and I am being cautious. I just, I'm not, you know, it's so funny because last night I was having dreams about, I had a dream that me and my corner, we were walking around, and because I was like, I don't want to get the COVID, because if I get the COVID, I can't fight. And I had a dream that I was walking around, picking up stuff off the ground and putting it in my mouth, kind of like a baby. And in my dream, I was like, Gina, don't do that. That's stupid. You're going to get COVID. And so I'm being very, very cautious about, like, if I am leaving, I'm you know, or when I did go outside, I just like literally walked around the outside and just enjoyed the outdoors a little bit and tried to get some fresh air and all that. But
that's funny.
It's a little better.
So Julian Marquez, a friend of the program, I talked to him in Jacksonville. I know that he called out some of the Kansas City Chiefs after his last win to a game of pickleball. So I introduced him to some of my Tampa Bay Buccaneer friends that were there at the fight in Jacksonville. And then I started to think about it, and I knew you were coming on. I'm curious, do you guys have like a secret pickleball court or something that you guys play on or practice on that now I've now set up the Buccaneers to come out there and get beat by, you know, the athletes out there at Glory?
You guys are just going to have to find out. No, not exactly, but maybe that is something that we're going to start adding to our training regimen just to be safe, you know? Julian Marquez, I love that guy. He's a great fella.
He's awesome. You know, let's, you know, for a second, you know, you made the change out there with my buddy James Krause. You know, talk about what that was like and what James has done, you know, for you, your confidence, and what we're going to see on Saturday.
Oh, man, it was definitely one of the hardest, challenging transitions I've ever made. Not only did I change teams and coaches, but I also moved homes. I left all my friends, everything I knew, and built in Las Vegas, and I moved out to the middle of Missouri, you know, and thankfully I'm with my fiance Tim Elliott, and he's good friends with James, and James has become one of my really good friends as well as a very good influential coach, and he convinced me to drop down to 125 pounds, and I feel like it's been a really good decision for me because I just feel so much more of a monster at 125. He's really helped me put myself, really organize myself a bit. And, before I think I'm a very talented lady, but I, just didn't have things in order. I didn't have a system to anything. And I think he's really helped me, put things in system. And with that, watching myself in practice and seeing how successful I've become in that, and even my last fight, just helped me build more confidence. I'm able to have more confidence with the process that I put myself through, and I have more confidence with just knowing the work that I put into it. And I've put in a lot of hours just in Kansas City, Missouri, and he's done a number for me, and I'm eternally grateful because I'm starting to really, really enjoy the process again.
How quickly into that process did you kind of realize and catch on that this is what you needed and the change was starting to happen?
So it honestly started with Tim got an offer to fight, and it was about 2-3 weeks notice, and he asked one of our coaches in Vegas, and he always asked James anytime he gets a fight, even when we were living in Vegas, and James loved to fight for him, and our other coach wasn't too sure about it. And so we took that. I was like, well, let's just go check out Missouri. And it was my opportunity to see how everything was working and how James ran things. And watching the process of him getting Tim ready within about 2 weeks really inspired me and really drew me to want to see what it's about. And I wanted to participate in that. So it was honestly watching him putting Tim through the process, and then watching James in the corner and how great he was in the corner. I was sold there, and we literally packed up our things and moved within a month. Like we made a really quick decision. Like we bought a house in Vegas and loved it and were happy out there. And, but then realized that, you know, we weren't doing very well, like in our careers, out in Las Vegas. So we had to make the change. We had to do something. And after watching James work with Tim, I was highly, highly convinced that that was the choice that needed to be made.
Hey, Gina, so, you know, my question is more about your early beginning as a figure skater. You know, we talked to Greg Hardy, and he credits football and the explosiveness to the sport of football as why he's successful in MMA. You know, we have other guys from Brock Lesnar that come from wrestling and over. You know, what kind of advantage do you feel that figure skating gave you, you know, growing up, like balance or more power in your feet or your legs?
You know, I think anything that you do athletically, whether it's running, whether it's figure skating, whether it's ballet, I think you can all, if you want it to, you can tie it into what you're doing now and make it a positive benefit. I think that with that, I just it just taught me to be able to perform. I think being able to perform in front of a lot of people and be on your best A game is really important, and just put on the best show that you possibly can. And then also, like, the athletic part of, you know, having good power in my legs and being able to skate hard. And I mean, my legs are pretty muscular, and I'll probably blame some of that on the figure skating, but, yeah, I think it's all tied together. And really, the thing I think I love most about it is in figure skating, there's quite a bit of politics in it. And the thing that I loved about fighting is that it's pretty black and white in a fight with who's winning and who's losing, that kind of thing. It's, you know, if you're getting punched in the face a lot, you're probably losing. If you're punching someone in the face a lot, you're probably winning. I love that aspect of it, because, and the politics via figure skating, I didn't do too hot because it's a very sassy sport. I take anything from my past and try to use it into my current positive future and use it as much as I possibly can.
Gina, I'm curious. We had Tracy Hackler on last week, who's one of the head PR people over at Panini. And I'm curious if you collect cards, if you've seen your cards, what you think of them, if you have seen any of them.
I'm going to be honest. I've never seen one of my cards. I'm so curious. I've seen one of Tim's cards, but I haven't seen any of mine. I didn't know I had cards. What a treat.
I will get a hold of Tracy after the show today, and I'll have him send you out some stuff. Talk about, you know, the fight coming up on Saturday. It's the second card with fans. How excited you are for that. The only drawback, and I say this each and every week, is now we have to hear those stupid woos again, the big Ric Flair woos. But other than that, fans are coming back.
Yeah. I think it's really cool, and I think as we saw in the last card, that it does nothing but benefit the fights. And it really, I kind of forgot, and it's weird because it hasn't been that long that the pandemic's been, I mean, it's been a long time, but I've been fighting way longer than that. But how much the athletes really feed off of the energy of the fans. I'm really excited to be a part of it. I'm beyond excited. Of course, I'm a little nervous, or a lot of nervous, but all that stuff is good stuff, and I'm going to use it as positive as I possibly can. But man, how cool is it? I'm so excited to fight in front of fans again and just entertain. And one of the main reasons is, like, I feel like when we have these special moments in the cage, like without the fans, you experience that with your coach and your teammate in your corner, and, you know, maybe some of the people up that work for the UFC. But there's nothing better than being able to perform in front of thousands of people, and then you run into one of those fans like, oh my gosh, I remember that one time when you fought that girl and you did this, this, and that. And it's like you share this, like, monumental experience together. And I just cannot believe that I'm going to hopefully be able to share a really cool experience with a whole bunch of fans. It's fantastic.
It is going to be a lot of fun. But before we let you go, let's talk about Saturday night, your return to the Octagon. What do you know about your opponent, and does that even matter? Is it more what you're going to do to the opponent, not what the opponent has done, could do, or will do?
You know, that's another thing James has really pushed in me, is that try not to worry so much about what my opponent does, what she's going to do, although, you know, we do develop a game plan and whatnot. But she's a tough girl. She's, you know, she's mean, and, you know, she's coming off of a big knockout. I think it's a great fight for me. My strong suit, I believe, is I think I'm very well-rounded. But I think my ground game, my wrestling, might be a little bit better than hers. And I think I can really catch her slipping on those moments. But honestly, it doesn't – someone was asking me the other day, they're like, do you think you're going to submit your opponent or knock her out? And honestly, all I can ask for is for a good performance. There's a good performance that I'm proud of, and I think if I perform well, then I'll be coming out with a knockout or a submission or some sort of finish. I'm really looking forward to it.
We can't wait for the return. Gina, thank you very much for your time. We're going to send you out a care package from Ape Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra Headgear.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Gina Mazzani getting back in the Octagon Saturday night, UFC 262. It's right around the corner. You know, it's a good card. I don't know if you even realized. You know, they've come kind of popped up so quickly that sometimes you don't realize how good the card is.
No, I haven't even looked at it yet. But I will look it up right now.
Why does that not surprise me?
Well, because I was busy today.
Yeah, sure you were. All right, let's go hit our first break, and we're all good station-wise. I'll shoot you a text here in a minute. But we're going to go hit a quick break. When we return, we'll head back out to UFC 262, as long as I did send the proper phone number. So I'll have to check that out as well. This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from the global headquarters here in Roswell, Georgia, of Staff Zone. And, of course, 8-Man Strong, located out there in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
Back to that same old place, sweet home, Chicago. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fight of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
We've moved and we can't wait to celebrate. Full contact live armor jousting, axe throw, and Nightwing's Birds of Prey. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Weekends now through May 23rd. Discount tickets at BayAreaRenFest.com. The Viking Invasion is coming to the Bay Area Renaissance Festival this weekend for the Barbarian Brewfest. Throw axes with your friends. Visit the Petting Zoo. Experience full contact live armored jousting. Weekends now through May 23rd. Discount tickets at BayAreaRenFest.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
It's Chuck the Ice Lindell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. What, were you too scared to even say anything?
I was listening to music, man. I was just having a good time. It's like a concert.
You're saying that you're this radio, and you're awful.
Well, here's the thing. coming out of the break, it was Chuck Liddell, the Iceman's liner, and he's called out Jake Paul, saying that he wants to fight in a boxing match. And what do you think? I mean, I saw with the fans are roasting Chuck. I mean, they're like, look, you're a legend. You're a great dude. Don't go in there and get embarrassed by this kid. Stay in your lane. Stay retired. You hobbled to the ring to fight Tito. Nobody wants to see you fight again. Just stay in the crowd and play your role.
I didn't know that he got involved in this at all.
He is now involved. He is now involved. Called out Jake Paul. Says he wants to fight him and just show him what's really like to be in a boxing match. What do you think? I mean, that's your boy. I mean,
I just talked to him the other day. We texted back and forth.
I saw him at the Logan Paul fight. He was in the suites. I thought they was friends with the Pauls. Funny how that changes.
Funny how I don't remember to bring the right adapters to computers anymore.
What about Jake Paul snatching Floyd Mayweather's hat Thursday at the press conference? We were supposed to be there, Randy Harris.
It was definitely funny watching him. And then I saw the memes that where he said, got your hat. This one there.
He started a clothing line.
He was? Yeah,
there's a clothing line now. It's called Gotcha Hats. Jake Paul's making millions off of selling hats and hoodies and sweatshirts. It's called Gotcha Hats.
And, you know, I only wear 8-man strong stuff, and I may go get one of those.
I'll tell you what. Gotcha Hats. But I was with Keon and Winky today, and they were like, how's Floyd going to go up there with his hair all looking crazy? They're like, how come he didn't get a haircut before he went up there with his hat on? Like, they were clowning Floyd. Like, come on, man. You can't go out like that. Looking all crazy like that. But, yeah, I mean, Jake Paul's a genius. The Logan, you know, the Paul brothers, Logan and Jake, are playing this thing to a T. They're the best at marketing. They're the best at hype. They're the best at entertainment. You know, and they're making Conor McGregor look silly, right? I mean, that's hard to do because Conor's the GOAT at, like, trash talking and entertainment and selling tickets. But these guys are showing that the true stars are coming out of the internet, not out of a boxing gym. I'm just saying. you look really upset. Because I know you're a traditionalist. You're an old school. Like, that's your thing. Like, you like tradition. You like history. You like the proper channels. But the internet bypasses all that. The internet doesn't give a damn about history. Doesn't care about where you came from. Doesn't care about who you are. It's all about now. And so it's kind of crazy that they're having a TikTok versus YouTube fight in Miami. I mean, it's like, with just internet stars banging it out. But the sad thing is they're making more money doing that than traditional boxers make, going through the right way, working their way up from amateur, working their way up to like pro, working their way up to a title fight, to a big event. So instead of putting 10, 15 years into your craft, these guys are just going to the internet, making a name for themselves, and getting bigger paychecks. I mean, bravo. I mean, from a guy who does all kinds of crazy stunts in the media for publicity, I consider those guys my equals.
No.
I mean, okay, they're still coming up. I can teach them a few things, but I like the way that they're handling their business.
I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And all these, you know, get into the cage, fight me MMA. He's never said he's an MMA fighter. Your people, when I say, I don't want to call anybody stupid, but you stupid people are like taking the bait. And you're going in there, and Ben Askew has not said one word about, and yes, I know, I said that on purpose, Ben Askew laughed all the way to the bank, too. He don't care.
Yeah, he got his $500,000 check. He's going to, will he ever be seen again? Who knows?
Yeah.
But why does he? Why does he? He got his money. But like, Logan is going to fight Floyd Mayweather.
That's crazy.
Listen, now, if Floyd wasn't in on it, okay, look, I haven't confirmed if he was or not. I don't know yet. But if Floyd was not in on it, think about this. He got his hat snatched by an internet YouTube boxing star.
No, hold on a second. Not a Disney, not a, a boxing YouTube star, a Disney Channel actor.
All right.
And don't then, say, sir.
And then maybe the GOAT of all GOATs in the boxing world, possibly one of the greatest of all time, chases that kid through the crowd for a hat. Like, a, like no, think about that. The GOAT of the sport is chasing this kid, the punk kid, who grabbed his hat and ran away. And then the kid creates a brand called Gotcha Hats and sells millions. So if Floyd's not in on the take on the Gotcha Hat name, I'm going to be very, very disappointed in the way that he handled that. But speaking of Disney, since you brought it up, they brought up Kamaru Usman. Jake Paul put Kamaru Usman's photo of him, of Kamaru and his daughter at Disney. Says, look, you got a problem with the Disney star. You don't, you won't take my fight. But here you are at Disney celebrating with your daughter after you won. So Kamaru sent a warning shot. Said, look, I don't know how to play fight. This is how people get hurt. You know, leave my family out of this. Don't post a picture of my daughter on the internet. So your thoughts on that, Randy Harris?
You know, I can take either side. You know, honestly, you know, I agree to a certain extent that, you know, you should keep family out. But on the same line, if you bring family into the cage, into the ring after a fight, it's kind of like that whole situation that happened in Tampa. And a radio person brought his wife onto the show and then kind of was upset when she was being blasted in the radio.
Right.
You brought her into it, talking about the other radio host. I think it's cruel to, you know, and I didn't really pay much attention to what you said, but it's stooping awful low to attack a young child that has nothing to do with any of this.
Well,
but you're doing it, but you're doing it, you know, to rile, you know, the athlete into a rebuttal.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't attacking, you know, Kamaru's daughter. It was just Kamaru took offense that he posted the photo that Kamaru posted on his social media of them together at Disney. So it was Kamaru posting the photo of his daughter and him, and then Jake Paul reposted it saying, hey, you got a problem. You won't fight. You got a problem with us being Disney stars, but you won't fight us. And then after you won, you went to Disney. So what's up with that? Take the fight or not? But is that a fight that Kamaru could win? Could Kamaru win a boxing fight against Jake Paul?
He's not a boxer, but neither.
I know. But that right hand, that right hand on Masvidal says differently.
Tracy Hackler sent me a text message when I said, you know, that Usman wanted, you know, would like some, you know, Panini cards and boxes and blah 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 blah. And Tracy Hackler said, with that right hand, he can have anything he wants.
I mean, that right hand changed the game. I mean, that was a vicious, textbook, perfect knockout. I mean, probably one of the cleanest right hands you'll ever see in combat sport.
Yes, it is. All right, let's head back out to Las Vegas as we continue talking about this weekend's return. Well, it's the second return. You and I were in Jacksonville for the original return of fans to the UFC, and now it's again this weekend in Houston. Let's welcome to the program Matt Schnell. Matt, how are you?
Doing great. Happy to be here in Houston, which is now my home city. So, yeah, everything's good. We're chilling.
Houston's your new home city?
Yeah, yep. I've lived in Houston now for about 4 years.
So when I come out there, my main goal when I travel, whether it's to cover UFC or other sporting events, is food. And I know now's not a good time to talk food, 2 days you know, before weigh-in. So after your fight, I'm going to reach out to you for some locations that I need to hit next time I come out to Houston.
In the right direction.
Awesome. I appreciate that. The beginning of fight week. Talk to me about how you get through it. Normally, I say to the athletes, and I just said it to Gina, you know, it's a work trip. It's not a vacation. You don't go out and hit the streets and, you know, see the attractions. But in this case, I was just told you're allowed to get out a little bit. But how different is this fight week to a fight week 2 years ago?
I would say it's pretty different. But I don't know. Everybody does their own thing, right? We all have varying levels of personalities, and I think some people need to get out of here. Me being hunkered down isn't a big deal. You know, even when I fought on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi, like, it didn't bother me that we couldn't leave the premises. So I know some people, it had them stir crazy. Like you kind of mentioned, I view this as business, and I'm typically cutting a lot of weight too, so I'm just kind of hunkered down, and I do as much as I can to keep myself mentally sharp. But yeah, it's no skin off my back, things the way they are.
You know, it's when you can't, you know, I've always said that, you know, I can stay in my house for as long as I need to. Then I went in the military. I'm on a destroyer in the middle of the ocean, and I can only walk 200 feet back and forth. You know, it's different when you can't, but, you know, like I said, it's a work trip. Explain to us what goes into preparation once you change, not because of your doing, but there's a change of your opponent. So you've been planning on an opponent, then all of a sudden, bam, hey, you can still fight, but it's a different opponent. How much does that throw a wrinkle and talk about that preparation?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends also on the situation. Like, we got a similar matchup. I'm fighting a guy who's grappling heavy, who throws hard strikes. It's not the same matchup, but it's a similar one. So it worked out. You know, obviously, whoever you're preparing for versus who you get matched up with, there can be some varying attacks and things that they're good at. But this is part of it, too. You know, I've been fighting now for 13 years, and I've been in this game so long. It's probably less fights that go through to their conclusion that get booked than, you know, than replacements I've fought in my career. You know, it just seems to be how it goes. So you got to be willing to roll with the punches. And, like, I was really excited to fight Alex Perez, so it was a bit heartbreaking to get the news, but I had already started and put in preparation, so I wasn't going to let this opportunity pass me by. I was going to fight.
From a non-athletic, and I'm talking about me, obviously, not you or anybody else, I am a non-athletic, very overweight old man. So my question is, I would think in a weird way that it could even be a benefit that, you know, you've had your eye on Alex, you're thinking about Alex, you're getting prepared for Alex. It's the same, you know, over and over. And now it gives you something else to kind of concentrate on, you know, the 10 days from when you found out until Saturday. Is any of that true, or did I just make that all up?
No, I mean, I think there's quite a bit of truth to it. And again, like, if it were to be Alex Perez and then I was fighting Davison Figueiredo, you know, it would be like a different type of anxiety that you feel. But again, we got it replaced with a guy who was similar. So I don't know. It's hard to say, because I was really excited to fight Alex Perez, and getting the news to fight somebody different wasn't. It definitely didn't get me motivated to get back out there. But you have to roll with the punches, like I said.
You've made a comment on how long you've been in the sport, and I'm curious, and I ask a lot of fighters this, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to you in the middle of the fight. You notice something in the stands, you hear something happens in the fight. Anything come to mind?
Nothing comes to mind in the fight. I'm typically pretty honed in when it's fight time, but I will say that I had some friends fight in Arkansas, and these things have changed since then. But I remember we didn't have to have blood work to fight in Arkansas, but we did have to get breathalyzed before we got into the cage. So you could have AIDS in fight, but you couldn't have a beer and try to get in there and fight. So I that sticks out to me as just such a strange thing.
Let me ask you this. I noticed that you're now starting to do some commentating, and I normally ask about just watching, but it's a little different when you're commentating. You're watching more aspects. But I'm curious, are you still able to watch a fight as a fan, or now not only as a fighter but as some commentating? Is everything work-related? Are you always trying to pick up a tip for a fight or pick up a tip that you can use at your next commentating gig?
Sure. I think, just like fighting started for me, I'm just out there trying to emulate the people who I admire. And every opportunity to commentate is great. But no, I wouldn't say that it hasn't made it any less fun. You know, and I think that's what's so great about martial arts for me is because not only is this my hobby, but it's my profession, it's my passion, it's everything that I'm interested in. So, it's great, and I think it's a perfect segue into what's next for me is to just, do the commentary thing.
You know, I make reference to that. I'm a judge in the state of Florida, and I can't even tell you about a fight I've judged. I'm so honed in on, you know, making sure that I catch everything, that there's not mistakes, that I don't even really notice the fight as a fight. I'm noticing it as a judge, and to me, it's totally different when you're doing that.
And that's how it should be, you know. And for me, I think that there should be some form of overhaul of where the judges are. I don't think there's any reason for the judges to be in the live building because then obviously with smaller shows, you can't, you know, put them in a safe room or something. It would be hard, but like, I don't think the judges should be impacted by anything other than the fight. And they should almost be sitting in front of a screen, watching closely, with no sound on, no commentators, no nothing. For me, this would be the best way to judge a fight in the most unbiased way. Because when you're in a person's hometown, you will get swayed by a guy landing something when the whole crowd roars. As opposed to sure. The other guy, maybe he lands some good stuff and it's silent. So there are factors that play into it, but that's the right way to go about it is to try to hone in and focus and be unbiased.
There's a reason that corners, you know, and you know this and everybody knows this. There's a reason that the corners are yelling nice or good job or, you know, it's not to help the fighter per se, even though it does. I agree with you. It's to kind of get in the ear of judges and hopefully, you know, you are able to block them out. Let me ask you this. Since you mentioned that about judges, even though this is a referee thing, I'd love to know your thoughts on the overturn of the Verdum fight last week. I kind of have a problem with it, but I'm curious what a fighter and fighters are thinking about it.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. So I'm not exact. I couldn't. I'd be just speaking. I kind of know the gist of what happened. Overeem maybe caught him in a submission early. He like trick tapped Overeem. Overeem let him go. And then he ended up TKOing Overeem. Is that kind of?
Yeah, well, Verdum, but right. Verdum had him in like, it looked like 16 different submission holds at the same time. And it did look like a tap, not once, but twice. I can't tell you if he did let go or not. Some people said he really didn't. But, you know, my whole thing is, and I've been very, you know, Eric Reynolds used to fight out of our gym in Tampa, St. Pete. And we would always talk about stuff about when you let go, when you don't let go. And until a referee puts your hands on you, you don't let go. I think this is opening up a whole can of worms now of being able to overturn mistakes, whether it's a fighter's mistake, a referee, or a touch.
Yeah, it's tough, and each situation is different. And you know, you got to be able to look back at the tape. I would have to see it to give my perspective on it, but. I tend to agree with you, and you know, if it were me in that situation, I've had somebody trick tap me before on The Ultimate Fighter. Matt Rizzo trick tapped me, and it happened so quickly, like you can't even tell that it happened. But I knew that the fight wasn't over. I continued to fight. So you know, I think both parties need to take a little bit of responsibility for it, for Doom included. Just like, I mean, dude's been doing it a long time. When a guy tapped. Like, you let sure. go when the tap is apparent, I guess. But I kind of get it. I understand because I've been in that mode too where somebody touches my leg and it's like, okay, let them go. But I train with Dufalls too that try to trick tap me like it's a game. Like, no, I didn't tap. So we hold on to people longer anyways.
Exactly. The UFC 262 Saturday night in Houston. What can the fans expect to see when you get back in the octagon?
Same. I'm not going to come out here and promise anything spectacular, but I've been working diligently. I feel good about everything. I've put in the work, and you know, I've got a game plan, 15 focus minutes. I see me winning at the end of it. Played the fight out quite a bit, and every time it's me with my hand raised at the end. So expect much of the same: sharp boxing, good submission skills, and an exciting fight.
Good stuff. Matt, thank you very much for your time, for coming on the program today. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as some earbuds from Jabra Headgear.
Very cool, guys. Thank you all so much. Had a pleasure.
Appreciate your time.
Please tune in.
Awesome. I'm going to call you next week for some food stuff, so we're not going to talk food because it's fight week. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Matt. Have fun on Saturday night.
I'm not cutting weight, so I'll give you all the food advice you want.
Well, then we've got 5 more minutes. Let's talk some food if that's cool.
I will say this. Anything you want in the city of Houston. Houston is the most diverse city in the entire world. So literally, I mean, the best Indian food you could imagine. Just come to the hotel and Google it, and you can't go wrong. And that's what's so great about this city, and that's one of the reasons I love it. But I'll put you on some of my buddy's spots. Shoot me a DM.
I definitely will. Tell me if you know about that turkey leg place.
I can't say that I do. But if you've heard of it, it's good.
No, I went to it. I stood in line an hour and a half for a $35 turkey leg. And it was incredible. It was awesome.
Maybe that's something I need to check out.
I will DM you. We will talk food. We will get together. Matt, awesome. I appreciate the time. Have fun on Saturday. And let's talk again real soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Good stuff right there. And we can talk food because he's not cutting weight.
That's redemption right there. That's redemption. That was redemption. That's redemption for the show. Because the last Matt we talked to, Wyman, his interview didn't go so well. But Schnell killed it.
Hold on. His interview went great. He just didn't like how it ended.
he didn't like that we had to go to a break at the top of the hour.
No, it wasn't a break. It was the top of the hour. You know, there's a big difference because we fly through breaks all the time.
That's true.
You know, but there's certain things you can't do, and that's the top of the hour. I mean, it is what it is in the FCC. Yep. This isn't a podcast in somebody's basement.
Well, it could be. Maybe it should be.
It probably will be very soon.
I mean, I don't know. I can see behind you that you're in a state-of-the-art office of the world headquarters of Staff Zone, and it looks amazing.
Well, wait till I tell you off the air, because this isn't public yet, and I hate when people do that. Oh, I have a secret. Matter of fact, that's Dr. Phil's wife's podcast. I've got a secret.
Oh, okay. But,
I know about some additions that's coming, and where do you see this?
Oh, my God.
Staff Zone continues. As long as they can get gas to send their workers out, Staff Zone will continue to absolutely blow up. So UFC 262, like I said, right around the corner. I'm looking forward to it, some title fights. I think it'll be cool. Are you surprised that this quickly Michael Chandler's getting the title shot and more people than not believe Michael Chandler's going to walk away your new champ?
I think he earned it in Bellator. I think he is a legit champion contender, and I do think he wins on Saturday night.
I don't know what Bellator has to do with him getting the title fight in the UFC, though. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I don't think, you know, yeah, you were that guy. You know, how many of those guys have come over? You know, Eddie Alvarez comes to mind. Gilbert Melendez comes to mind. You know, and I said Gilbert was the best non-UFC fighter until he got here. But then to walk right in and it's different. Yeah, he looked dominant in his last fight.
Sure.
But, you know, it goes back to you talking about Paul. You know, and in no way am I putting Paul and Michael Chandler in the same category, but you're saying how Paul hasn't earned anything. Well, Michael Chandler came in, dominated the first fight. I get that. And kind of leapfrogged over other people in that make-believe top 10 list or 20 list.
He's doing what Ben Askren was supposed to do, coming in from one, dominant, you know, coming into the UFC, supposed to be the next superstar. And then, you know, caught a flying knee from Masvidal and then got knocked out by Jake Paul. And now he's selling insurance or, I don't know, filling up gas at the gas station. I don't know what he's doing.
As long as he can get gas, it's good. Because up here, you cannot get gas.
That's crazy. I don't know why people are so afraid of, like, what's going on? Where do you need to go so fast?
You need pepper packets because it's gone. So people, run out there and get those pepper packs before they all disappear, because without it, how are you going to sneeze? Coming to you live from the global headquarters here in Roswell, Georgia at the Staff Zone. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be back at the top of the hour.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Eight Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Eight Man Strong.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products, and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.